Let's continue to talk education. It's the big thing in federal politics. We've heard today the federal government has moved to quash criticism that it was breaking a promise over schools funding. It announced it will honour Labor's Gonski commitments for the next 4 years, not the six that Labor had originally planned, but the four. That's what they took to the election. It's going to boost the spending as well by $1.2 billion to draw in those states that had or not already signed up. I should point out that $1.2 billion was earmarked for those states, but they didn't sign, so they didn't get the money. So to discuss this and the politics of the week, I'm joined by Andrew Proben, Federal Political Editor for the West Australian newspaper. Andrew, good to speak to you again.
Yeah, hi, Wally.
I'm guessing it's not too cynical to suggest that this announcement happened immediately before question time for a reason?
It did. Obviously, if you're going to do a backflip of these proportions, you may as well make it worth it. So they were trying to in effect spoil Labor's question time tactics, which it did to some degree, because many of the early questions from Bill Shorten were geared on the premise that the government has had basically not done what it had just done, and
yes,
that was accept Gonski. It was quite an astonishing U-turn, backflip, whatever you want to say, but it's done a few things today that run counter to what was going on last week. First of all, it's obviously found the money that it said it couldn't find last week. That's $1.2 billion, which is a lot of money. Secondly, it has decided to embrace the funding model that Labor had proposed, a funding model which they were describing as a shambles right up until last Friday. So, these are big issues. Now, for WA, it's interesting because WA and Queensland and Northern Territory, the three jurisdictions that hadn't signed up, well, they will get their money now. But unlike the signatory states, there will be no requirement for the WA, Queensland or NT to actually chip in their own cash. In fact, there are no conditions to this money. It's simply a cash injection.
Well, hang on, but so, those, when you say no conditions, does that include the model? Does that mean that the Gonski model, which was all about providing money to the areas where there was disadvantage so that there was more of an equal spread and that students would get a certain amount of funding per student no matter where they went and then loading for disadvantage, has that whole model been abandoned with respect to WA, Queensland and Northern Territory?
Well, look, I'll speak for WA because I know that one much better. But I know that WA was always an outlier, as it always seems to be. Mm. There was some particular peculiarities to WA. One of the arguments that the Premier there put was that if he had accepted the Gonski model, or as the better schools model that Julia Gillard was presenting, then 60% of the schools would have their funding go down, because WA was funding 60% of its schools above the resource standard.
Right.
This is one of those complexities that often gets lost. So let me just repeat that and try and say it in a different way. In effect, Julie Gillard was trying to get schools resourced to a certain level, but 60% of WA schools were already beyond that level. Now, they also have a form of Gonski funding that they're proposing themselves to do, which is attaching certain additional resources to levels of disadvantage, indigeneity, and so on. Mm. So it is much more complex than just taking the money and running in terms of WA. Queensland, I think that might be a different kettle of fish, because I don't think they have quite as sophisticated schools funding regime. In fact, that was reflected in the fact that Queensland was going to get a lot more than WA was ever going to get.
Well, yeah, because they'd been underfunding. I understand that description of the reality at the moment in those states, but the question is, what comes with this money, this extra money now? Are there any obligations at all that come with it?
Well, it doesn't look like there are any obligations. So,
well, doesn't that mean that the funding model then is not being carried through?
Well, it's not. Well, it was, but of course, it never applied to WA, Queensland, or the NT. They just get the federal funding, but it will apply for those states that have signed on,
right? Who are also under that model obliged to provide a third of the total funding themselves, and these new states that have now signed on don't have that obligation at all.
Precisely.
And it seems then, this is the point that Labor was making, that that could mean that in those states the overall funding for schools goes down or does not necessarily go up at the level.
Well, it could be, and we have been asking these questions both of the ministers stateside and also federally here. There's nothing stopping WA, I suppose, from reducing the money that it puts into schools. Now, would it do that? Well, possibly if it was stretched, but it would be it would face a fair backlash, I would expect, from the voters. And it's only decency that would stop them doing it. Decency in governments. There's a conversation for you.
Yes, that's for the ethics segment, I think. When Labor was making this attack, I think they were picking up something that Eric Abetz had said today. He's the government leader in the Senate. This is what he said.
What we indicated very clearly is that no school need be worse off given our funding. But because the states...
Order.
But because the states... are responsible for the allocation of monies, and just before the chorus gets too excited, be very careful, because under the models already adopted in part in New South Wales and other states, you might actually find that some schools are worse off, courtesy of various state government decisions.
There it is. I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? If the states choose to freeze their funding, then...
Yeah, they could do it.
Yeah. So, how likely is it to play out in a way that will... where the difference between what the new government is proposing and what the Labor government, previous Labor government proposed, starts to emerge, is thrown into sharp relief?
Look, in essence, this has always been the problem. You have 17 jurisdictions, each doing things differently. 17 jurisdictions when you count all of the, you know, the public, private, Catholic organisations, and so on. The complexity of trying to get a uniform system was immense, and therefore it inevitably saw states... getting more money from the feds if they weren't doing enough. And so you had, Queensland was going to get a lot of money. Victoria held out. They were going to get, I think, more than New South Wales in the end. It's arguable as to whether that's simply because they waited and waited and waited until the election campaign, or nearly the election campaign, to strike a deal. Mm. But to put students across the nation on equal footing meant that the federal government had to chip in more, because it can only go to the table telling the states and the other partners what it was going to do. It can't force them to do it. And so you had this two-for-one deal that was being put up by Julie Gillard, but some accepted it, some didn't. But obviously some started from well behind where states like WA were.
Mm. 12 minutes to 7, that's the voice of Andrew Probyn. He's Federal Political Editor for the West Australian newspaper. A couple of texts. Jeff in Newcastle says, elitists attempting to undermine public education is par for the course. The story here is that the attempt failed, which I suppose it says something about the political backlash, the extent of it that the government was facing. Just one final issue, though, that I wanted to raise with you, which is the point Bruce makes, and you alluded to this before, Andrew. The missing $1.2 billion from Labor's promise. Where's that coming from? Have we heard anything?
Well, this is quite interesting, because in answer to a question from a journalist in the courtyard today, in the Prime Minister's courtyard, Tony Abbott indicated that this money may indeed be coming from the education portfolio, because he said, I can't quite remember the phrasing of that he used, but it was indicating that parents and teachers and so on, you know, won't be necessarily hurt by this. So there were some clues as that it was coming from within the education budget. Now, that's a lot of money, $1.2 billion. So it'd be fascinating to know where what they've picked on, and picked on so quickly, because remember, they didn't have this money on Friday.
Well, that's right. And we were in a budget emergency, weren't we?
Yeah. Well, a budget emergency of convenience, I think.
Right, okay, you think the emergency might have been dropped?
I think it might have disappeared.
altogether. Oh, wow. Is that where we've got a debt ceiling thing and all of that sort of stuff happening?
Well, I think the debt ceiling, that's quite another topic, and I think there really is a legitimate question as to whether we should even have a debt ceiling. I think there's a this is not America. We do have lots of avenues for scrutiny, and I think that they could quite easily get rid of the debt ceiling, and we'd be none the worse for the nation, I don't think.
Well, we did without it till 2008, so I can certainly see the point that you're making there.
Was silly vanity to have it in the first place, I think.
Yeah, well, that's possibly true. What's the point of legislation that you can never, ever breach? It's interesting. Anyway, always good to talk to you, Andrew. Good to make your acquaintance once again, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
Andrew Probyn, Federal Political Editor for the West Australian newspaper.